way. Lord Krishna's daily activities. Text number 2, is that correct?
Vaiham Sharodavam Krishnam. Bodhayantiva Vandina. Gayaspa Lishvani Dhani. Mandaravana Vayubi. Vayam Sharodavan Krishnam. Badhayanti Vandina. Gayatsalishvani Dhani. Mandaravana Vayubi. Vayam Sharodavan Krishnam. Badhayanti Vandina. Gayatsalishvani Dhani. Mandaravana Vayubi.
Birds.
Arodavam.
Sounded loudly.
Krishnam.
Lord Krishna.
Bharayanti.
Waking.
Eva.
As if.
Vandina.
Bards.
Gayatsu.
As they sang.
Alishu.
Bees.
Anidranhi,
aroused from sleep.
Mandara,
of Parijata trees.
Vana,
from the garden.
Vayubhi,
by the breeze.
Translation.
The bees buzzing caused by the fragrant breeze from the Parijata garden roused the birds from sleep. And when the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna like court poets reciting his glories. I'll read that responsibly. The bees buzzing, caused by the fragrant breeze, from the Parijata garden, roused the birds from sleep. And when the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna, like court poets reciting his glories. I'll read the next verse too.
Mahurtam tam tu bhairavi namrishyadati sobanam parirambana visleshat priya bhavandharam githa.
Lying in her beloved's arms, Queen Vaidavi did not like this most auspicious hour, for it meant she would lose his embrace. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the reaction of Queen Vaidavi, Rukmini Devi, shows the attitude of all the queens. We have to follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. So we follow in the footsteps of Queen Rukmini. What does that mean? That Queen Rukmini here did not like this most auspicious hour of Brahma Muhurta. So we can imagine, strangely as it sounds, we will all sit here and understand that there is a deeper spiritual significance, and that although Queen Rukmini does not like this hour of Brahma Muhurta, that does not mean that we should also dislike the Brahma Muhurta. But you'll be surprised how many people will actually read that and take that, that they should also not like the Brahma Mahavita. They will take that as authority. It's there in the Bhagavatam. If Queen Rukmini, maybe that's just me, that's not going to happen. If Queen Rukmini doesn't like to, you know, the Brahma Mahavita, then if she is the acharya, if she is the authority, then that's good enough for me. I also don't like Brahma Mahavita, so I'm staying in bed. But people will, they will actually do that. I have seen strange interpretations of the Bhagavat. One person once came up to me when I was in the mall in Perth, and we were giving out books, distributing books, selling books, and there was a very strong presence of the born-again Christians. And they're doing their preaching, we're doing our preaching, it's all good. although they were probably a little bit more enthusiastic than we were. At one stage we used to have a box of books, you know, a couple of boxes of books, and there were a few devotees up and down the mall, and we noticed that all our books had disappeared. And actually they had taken them. And in their preaching zeal, we eventually got them back. There was actually a whole saga that went on there. But anyway, one day one of these born again Christians came up to me and said, "Krishna is a demon." And I said, "Is that so?" He said, "Yes, it says so on the back of the Gita." So I said, "Well, I've read Bhagavad Gita too. I must have missed that part. Maybe there's the 19th chapter." He said, "Actually, because our books had been stolen, somehow or another, I didn't have a Bhagavad Gita." He said, "If you bring me a Bhagavad Gita next time you come back, I'll show you." So I met him again the next time I came back to the mall. Showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he went to the 10th chapter, where Krishna says, amongst the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. So he took that one statement, and he was convinced that that was the essence of the Gita, that Krishna is a demon. So this, this verse here needs a little explaining, and not that it's within my capability, but we'll make an attempt. So Rukmini, of course, she is acting on the platform of love, and whatever Queen Rukmini does is on the platform of pure love, and therefore Krishna, he appreciates what his devotees do on the platform of pure love. And all the devotees, every devotee has a different services. They may have different relationships with the Supreme Lord. There are five principal relationships that we can have. There is neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love, and there are we are attempting to develop these relationships. So, but whichever situation a devotee is in, their only religion is to make Krishna happy. That is their sole purpose, and they have no conception of their own personal happiness. So in this way, Queen Rukmini is serving Krishna. That Queen Rukmini knows that Krishna is rising from bed, And as a display of her love for him, she displays this distaste for the Brahma Muhurta. Like that. And Krishna appreciates that. Krishna is relishing that display of love, that he is thinking that Rukmini, you know, loves me so much that she's even angry at the Brahma Muhurta. Who is angry at the Brahma Muhurta, you know? So he's understanding, you know, so intense is her love that it just surpasses everything, regulatory principles. It transcends everything. So in this way, Krishna is appreciating Rukmini's love. Similarly, you know, there are different ways that devotees sometimes serve Krishna, which are all done out of love, but which, from our point of view, it may sometimes be very difficult to understand how that devotee is serving Krishna with love. There's a story about Narada Muni, which is also Narada Muni displays a little bit of mischievous. Narada Muni is, just as in the previous chapter, Narada Muni, he went to all the different palaces of Lord Krishna because he wanted to, you know, establish, not that he was just merely inquisitive, but he really wanted to establish the glories of the Supreme Lord. You know, he personally witnessed, and therefore he travelled all over the universe. You know, I have seen Krishna is living with 16,000 wives, you know, 108 wives, all, you know, at the same time, and he's doing different activities with each one. So the Radha Muni, in that mood, he wanted to establish the glories of Krishna. And Krishna knew that. And also, when Narada Muni went to the different palaces, of course, Krishna actually began to worship Krishna. As soon as he saw Narada, he would, you know, get off his own seat, offer his own seat to Narada Muni and worship Narada Muni. And again, Narada Muni, knowing here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he wants to establish, because he is in the role of a Kshatriya, he wants to establish that all kings of this world should offer their respects to the Brahmanas. Narada Muni, knowing that, then out of his love for the Lord, then he, you know, took part in accepting that worship from God. So there's another pastime much later where Ugrasena was actually performing a Ashvamedha Yajna. And in the Ashvamedha Yajna, this is a huge, very, very big affair. And all the Krishna was there. Actually, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan had been invited as well. So, you know, the gopis were there and Shrimati Radharani was there. Everyone was there for Ugrasena's Ashvamedha Yajna. And Ugrasena sent 64 couples down to the Gomati River to collect sacred water in pots and bring it back. So all the very, very famous couples, Brahma and Balaram was there with Ravati, and Krishna went down there with Rukmini, and so there's 64 very, very famous couples that went down. So when Narada Muni saw that Krishna was going to the Gomati River with Rukmini, he thought, I might do some mischief here and start a quarrel with Krishna's other wives. So he went back to the palace where Satyabhama was, and he said, Krishna is down, going down to the river to collect water in this yajna with Rukmini. And Satyabhama became really angry, you know, why is he not going down there with me? Like that. So, well, actually, that's what Narada Muni wanted. But actually, when Krishna understood what Narada Muni was up to, he immediately expanded himself into the palace of Satyabhama. And so although Narada Muni actually wanted Satyabhama to become angry, she said, no, actually, we've just taken a meal and Krishna's just laying down taking rest. And sure enough, Narada Muni, you know, he could see, yes, it's Krishna is taking rest. He thought, oh, I'll go to another palace. So he went to another palace, and he went to the palace of Jamavati, and he tried to do the same thing. Oh, Krishna's, you know, going down to the river with Rukmini, you know, all the famous couples, and Jamavati said, no, Krishna's in the other room, you know, playing with his grandchildren. And so in this way, Narada Muni, he kept going to all the different palaces, but he found that, you know, when he got there, Krishna had already beat him and had expanded himself and was there and performing some pastime with his wife. So then Narada Muni thought, well, I'll go to Radharani and the gopis. So he went to see Radharani and the gopis, and he told them, Krishna's going down the river with Rukmini. And the gopis said, no, Krishna's with us, you know. So in this way, then, you know, he thought, oh, I'll go and see someone else. So Krishna then came and saw Narada Muni. Narada, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's like you're trying to get me in trouble with all my wives and the gopis, you know. Look, you know, there's a wonderful jug you're on down at the Gomati. Why don't you just come and enjoy yourself like that? So in this way, Narada Muni, you know, he was satisfied that, you know, Krishna was able to manifest his godly potencies, and which Narada wanted to broadcast all over the world. And so they both went back to the Gomati River, and they performed the jagya. So, you know, sometimes the activities of the devotees on the platform of love, you know, from our point of view, may not be straightforward if we forget the fact that they are enacted on a platform of love. We may actually think there's some, you know, mischievous or some disturbance or some laziness or what have you. but understanding that point, then we can understand the activities of the devotees, that everything they do is enacted from that platform. And there's a very nice verse which was recited by Srimati Radharani, actually. Srimati Radharani, at one stage when Krishna was, she felt that Krishna was neglecting her to test her love. But when Krishna was neglecting her, all the gopi friends, they were telling her, just forget about him. You know, just don't worry about Krishna. You know, he's neglecting you. He's just not worth it. So, Radharani, you know, she considered that Krishna is her supreme lord, her husband, her lover, and that her only happiness was in giving Krishna happiness, and therefore she wasn't going to you know, neglect Krishna. So she said a particular verse which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also quoted. Ashli Sava Paradatam Banastamam Madasinam Mamadam Guru Tava Yatatatava Pitatu Lampatu Mapranatas to see even up Braha. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I know no one else but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that is the mood, that is the prayer, that is the mood of pure love, which is exemplified by the devotees. The devotee always considers himself, under all circumstances, the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, and under no circumstances do they ever recoil from that service. They they never act independently of that mood. And whether Krishna embraces the devotees, or as Srila Prabhupada says, whether Krishna embraces us roughly, or whether he doesn't embrace us at all, the devotee, in that mood of pure love, they never ever shy away from that mood, that their only service, their only religion, is to give Krishna happiness. So if someone is thinking that when circumstances are difficult, therefore, if someone is thinking it is too difficult to rise in the morning for Mangalarti, or the service that I'm doing for Krishna is too difficult, or the principles that we have to follow as devotees are too difficult, or chanting 16 rounds is too difficult, or worshipping the deities is too difficult. If a devotee feels like that, then, and therefore feels that they sometimes they feel maybe I'm being exploited, or handled very, very roughly, which sometimes Krishna does. Sometimes Krishna does that, and sometimes Krishna appears to neglect a devotee. But just as Srimati Radharani understood, Krishna does that to test a devotee. Sometimes we do get handled a little roughly. We do feel that perhaps Krishna appears to be neglecting me, I am getting a bit of a rough run like that. But the devotee, because of their love for Krishna, they think, whatever the circumstances, no one else but Krishna will be my Lord. They do not think, perhaps I'll worship Lord Buddha. Maybe that will be easy. Or, maybe I won't worship anyone at all. Or, maybe I'll, whatever. They never, leave that platform that my only Lord is Krishna. And, whatever, if Krishna is satisfied, a devotee thinks, if Krishna is taking pleasure in my distress, then that distress is my greatest happiness. That's how a devotee actually feels. If Krishna is taking pleasure somehow or another in my distress, then that distress is my greatest happiness. Actually, Srimati Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in giving examples so that devotees can enter into this mood of pure love, they describe the example of one very chaste woman, because the nature of that verse, the nature of pure love, is this chastity to God. That under all circumstances one remains chaste in one's love and principles service to Krishna. So they give an example. There was one very chaste wife of a brahmana. Now that brahmana became very fallen, and he wanted to actually associate with a particular prostitute. Now when his wife understood that, she was so chaste, we can hardly understand this, but she was so chaste to her husband. It's very difficult. Who would be chaste to such a husband? But she was so chaste that she went and served, that prostitute, until that prostitute agreed that, okay, you have served me and I owe you, so I will go and meet with your husband. So of course, when the prostitute went to meet with her husband, that Brahmana became so ashamed of himself that, you know, my wife is so chaste that she has done me this favour, that he couldn't go through with it. Anyway, so he decided he would go home and tell his wife how much he loved her. Anyway, on his way home, he accidentally touched Markandeya Rishi, a very great and powerful saint. And Markandeya Rishi, because this Brahmana was also a leper, so we also have to remember that. He was actually not only fallen, but he was also a leper. So when he touched Markandeya Rishi, you know, Markandeya Rishi took that as an offence, so he cursed him. He said, "You rascal, you know, you should have been more careful. Before the sun sets today, you will die." So he went home and told his wife. So his wife said that, you know, "I vow on the strength of my chastity that the sun will not set today." So she made that vow, and of course the sun didn't set. So all, you know, the heavens started to go out of, you know, tilt a little bit, and actually Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu all came to see her, you know, "Please, you know, what can we do to, you know, award you some benediction so that everything can be put back to normal?" And so, you know, she said that, my husband shall not die. And they said, okay, you know, so her husband was saved from death by the strength of the vow, you know, based upon her chastity like that. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that example. Just that is the mood that, you know, always a devotee is trying to, you know, work towards. That under all circumstances, no matter, you know, what is happening to devotee, under all circumstances, the devotee is fixed in their religious principle, and that religious principle is that Krishna shall be happy. Whether it is a good deal for me or, you know, what have you, that doesn't matter. If Krishna is happy, then I am happy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions when he's commenting on this particular section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that actually a pure devotee, they have no conception of happiness other than when they perceive Krishna is happy. They can't tell whether they're happy or sad. They have no conception of that. They don't know, you know, I'm happy, I'm sad. They only know if Krishna is happy or Krishna is displeased. And when Krishna is happy, they are satisfied. That is a very, very, you know, advanced stage of pure devotional service. So, that is the mood here. And therefore, sometimes here we see this mood of love. Rukmini, she's actually thinking that, you know, when Krishna gets out of bed, then I will be separated from him. And she's displaying her love for Krishna, but at the same time, she is experiencing, because of that pure, natural, spontaneous love, she is experiencing great separation from the Lord. And as devotees, that is the mood also that a devotee is meant to cultivate, the mood of vipralamba, or developing love in separation from the Lord. So sometimes devotees, in the name of devotional service, there's a sect called the Gauranga Nagaris, and they portray Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as someone in the mood of always trying to enjoy the association of the Lord. But actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not teach us to always be seeking to enjoy the association of the Lord. Actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we should be serving the Lord in the mood of separation. if we serve the Lord in the mood of separation, automatically the sambhoga, or the union with the Lord, will be accomplished. And but that mood in one's service is very, very, very much recommended. Whereas if we try and become an enjoyer of Krishna, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that that mood is the same as the karmis. Although a devotee may be engaged in devotional service, wearing dhoti, wearing sari, and what have you, but if they have that mood, let me be the enjoyer with Krishna, it's actually the same mentality as the fruitive worker, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. They're really just trying to enjoy, but they're trying to enjoy in the name of devotional service. Sometimes when people in the material world become really disgusted with the material world, I have tried so hard to enjoy in the material world, then they may take to devotional service, but if they don't take the process properly, following in the mood of the acharyas, then they can actually just try to be an enjoyer within the field of devotional service. And therefore, to prevent that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we should, not try to be always, trying to enjoy with Krishna, but we should be developing this mood that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed, that the acharyas and displayed, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and that is serving the Lord in the mood of separation. The devotees feel that they don't have love for Krishna, that they're not, I'm not this, exalted pure devotee who's, ready to, embrace the Lord. Imagine, we have these material bodies. You think the Lord would want to embrace these material bodies, Sometimes, the different sahajas, they dress up as gopis. And they even still have their mustaches, I mean, can you imagine? Krishna has all these beautiful queens in Dwarka, the spiritual world filled with unlimited gopis. And here's this big man with a mustache and a dress, thinking that Krishna wants to embrace him. He probably, probably breath smells like biddies, a couple of cigarettes in the morning. But there, we shouldn't imagine like that, Rather, the nature of the devotee is actually thinks, I don't have a drop of love for Krishna. And I am, a conditioned soul in this material world, in this material body, and I have been separated from my dear Lord because of my, great foolishness. But still, he is my only Lord, and we want to again, we want that association. But that mood of separation, and the devotee is thinking that Krishna shall enjoy. So here I am in the material world, and the way that Krishna will enjoy is that I will preach Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has that prayer, Nadanam Najanam Nasandaram Kavitam Bhajagirishikam He Mama Janmini Janmini Shri Bhavatad Bhakti Hotiki Twai. Oh my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire a beautiful woman, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. So the devotee, they're prepared to stay in the material world. They're not chasing the Lord for liberation. They're not after anything for themselves, spiritually or materially. They have no other goal except to serve the Lord. That is their only religion, to make the Lord happy. And therefore, they actually, in that mood of separation from the Lord, they're willing to, you know, preach Krishna consciousness to, because they know that that is something that is very, very dear to the Lord. As Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, that there is no one more dear to me, no devotee more dear to me than that devotee who preaches Krishna consciousness. So, you know, that mood of separation, serving the Lord in a mood of loving separation and trying to make Krishna happy, that is very, very favourable to one's devotional service. And we see that mood there in all of Krishna's associates. Here, Rukmini, she has been associating with the Lord throughout the night, embracing him, and you know, when Brahma Muhurta comes, she knows that there will be some separation. So she is also, that is also separation. There are different forms of separation. There is separation when the devotee and the Lord are eager to meet, because the devotee has seen the Lord or heard of the Lord. In the case of Rukmini, Rukmini hadn't seen the Lord, but she heard about the Lord and she was very, very eager to meet with the Lord, and the Lord was very eager to hear about Rukmini, to see Rukmini, because he had also heard about her. That is purva raga, that is a form of vipralamba or separation prior to meeting. They're very relishable. In this case, this is called pravash, where the devotee and the Supreme Lord have actually already met, and then there is separation after meeting. That is another form of vipralamba, separation. But that you know, separation increases the mood of love, and that's why Krishna explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if I appear, you know, to be neglecting a devotee, or if I appear to have disappeared, or if, you know, like that, actually I am just testing that devotee's love and increasing the intensity of their love. So that's how we should think. When we, you know, experience difficult times in Krishna consciousness, then we should understand this is Krishna's great mercy to increase the intensity of my devotional mood, like that. And if we take that mood, then definitely, you know, it is very, very favourable to devotional service. But as soon as we think, no, I am the enjoyer, no one shall treat me like this, not even Krishna, that intensity of devotion will not be increased. In fact, it will be decreased. So it's very, very dangerous. So if we actually want to increase that intensity of devotion, then especially when the going gets tough, the tough get going. When things get a little bit difficult, we should take that as an opportunity that Krishna, he is. Don't think that Krishna is not present. As a sometimes devotee, or don't think my spiritual master is not present. Sometimes devotees think like that. I'm serving my spiritual master, you know, I don't feel that. You know, Prabhupada says, if you carry out the instructions of the spiritual master and you're serious about becoming Krishna conscious, then your success is guaranteed. So one should never think, you know, otherwise. If you have the opportunity to serve the pure devotees of the Lord and you're serious about becoming Krishna conscious, your success in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. That is all you need. So when things are a little difficult, you just keep that in mind, and never think maybe the spiritual master is you know, not here, or you know, the spiritual master has given me a task which is impossible to do. Actually, one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was in India managing, and he'd taken sannyas. He was doing a lot of preaching, a lot of managing. He was doing a lot of very, very difficult services. And he went to Srila Prabhupada And he said, Prabhupada, this is impossible. You know, to do all these services, it's impossible. He was, practically in tears. It was just so heavy burden he had, Prabhupada placed upon him. So much service. And he went to Prabhupada practically in tears. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is very good. He said, this is good, this is wanted. You should pray to Krishna that you are so busily engaged in devotional service that there is not one moment for Maya to attack. So, sometimes things seem a little hopeless or difficult, but we should always remember that point, that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have all guaranteed. If you have the opportunity to serve Krishna through the parampara system and you're serious about becoming Krishna conscious, that is all you need, and your success in this life is guaranteed. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments about that verse. That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah. And they were gopis. That's right, yeah. Any other questions, comments? Oh, it all goes to the Prabhupada.